God has really done a work in my heart and my wife's heart this weekend, and God has really opened our eyes to a lot of things in our Christian life. Well, I grew up not but about an hour away from here in Hampton, Virginia, and my wife grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and so she'll be rooting for Peyton Manning tonight. We met at Crown College of the Bible together. And my wife was a freshman and I was a freshman when we met. And from there, you know, the Lord led us to get married. My senior year, she had already graduated. And from there, God has just let us stay in Knoxville for the time period. And I didn't come to know Christ as my personal Savior until I was 18 years old. I was working at a shipyard, a steel factory, and God put a man in my life named Matthew Congleton. Matthew Congleton was a Christian and he lived the Christian life. And from his life, and from his example of his life, led me to the Lord. And so I stand here today because of that man and what God has used that man in our lives. This morning I taught the teens class. We talked about the testimony of our life. And we looked at Daniel's testimony. Tonight we're going to be in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, turn to me with me in Romans chapter 5. You know, with me working at a shipyard or working where I'm working now, I'm a welder. You know, there's a lot of benefits that I have when I'm a welder. You know, when something breaks, especially when it's metal, I can weld it back together. When I want to take a trailer and extend it out and not have to pay nobody to do it, I can do it by myself. You know, just like a carpenter, you know, benefits of being a carpenter. You know, you want to redo your cabinets in your house or put new molding in. There's benefits of being a carpenter or working in that trade. You know, there's benefits in being an auto mechanic. You know, you break down on the side of the road, and if you're a mechanic, you just jump underneath that hood and fix whatever needs to be fixed. If it's a flat tire, if it's a brake caliper that locked up, you'll know how to fix it. You know, there's benefits in this life that it is good. Don't get me wrong, it is good. And, you know, you come to 40 years of working or 30 years of working or 20 years of working, you have benefits after that and you get to retirement. You know, being a Christian today, you have benefits in your life. You know, being a Christian, God has given you benefits. We're going to see these benefits out of Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Tonight I would like to preach to you a message out of this passage of Scripture. And I'd like to take the points directly from the Word of God. I'd like to preach the benefits of being a Christian. The benefits of being a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this evening that you have given to us. Thank you for the ones that have come out here tonight to hear thy word. Father, I pray that you'll fill and feed them tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. I pray that I'll be able to uplift Christ and let him draw all men to himself. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Give us wisdom, Lord, we ask. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Bible says here in the very first verses, "Therefore, being justified by faith." This word justification literally means to be declared righteous. You know, there was a term that I used to use on the bus, justification, just as if you never sinned in the very first place. God is, through his son, because it says in the latter day of that verse, through our Lord Jesus Christ, God justified us through faith. Through faith, God justified us. Meaning that one day there come to a point in our life that we confessed our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. At one point of our time. Now, here in this passage of Scripture, we have our position with God. Because at first we were in the wrath of God. If you look in verse 9, it says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. At one point in time in my life, before I come to know Christ as my personal Savior, I was abiding in God's wrath. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, if you turn your Bibles to John chapter 3, and we know John 3:16. Take your Bibles and turn to John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But listen to this. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned." But listen to this. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." See, at one point in my life, my state with God was a condemned sinner. My state was actually in the wrath of God. God, by his mercy, and we see that in Paul was giving it forth in chapters 1 through 4 in this passage of scripture, saying that the Romans, Gentiles can be saved just like the Jews can be saved. And he was trying to encourage them that it's through Jesus Christ that they can be saved. You see, under the Old Testament law, you had to live by Mosaic law. But when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, there was a new covenant. And that was his blood that covers all sins, the multitude of sins. He literally justifies us when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He blots out our sins. That's more than enough. That's more than enough to rejoice today that we have our new name in heaven. That our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are Christians. We are born again believers. We were once lost, but now we are saved. Why? Because we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you read in Romans chapter 3 verse 11, you never sought God. There was nothing in you that wanted to seek God. The Bible says God sought you. God wanted to save you. When God was chastening me and bringing me to himself, I wasn't seeking after God and I was far from God. You see, in our flesh, we want nothing to do with God. That's why as a Christian right now, you have a war that's happening within you. The flesh and the spirit are warring together. Not only do you have a war without with the devil and the world fighting against you, now you have the flesh and the spirit fighting. You know, there's a war without and there's a war within. So when you become a Christian, you are now justified. You are just as if you never sinned in the first place. And you were declared righteous before a holy and just God. What a benefit that we have, that we are justified by faith. It doesn't stop there. Number two, we have peace with God. It says through our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 9 how when we were lost and undone, we abided in his wrath. You know, when I first got saved, you know, stars didn't shoot out of the sky. I didn't have a bunch of visions like some people like to say, scoffers in them like to say. But what I did have was the overwhelming peace of God. The overwhelming peace of God that came into my heart and my life, which was through the Holy Spirit. We find that in verse 5. God confirms everything through the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and our lives. See, I had an overwhelming peace in my heart. The peace, the Bible says, which passeth all understanding. Christ gave us a peace. Not only are we justified by faith, our sins have been blotted out. We have been declared righteous. Now we have peace with a holy and righteous God. And we are no more abiding in his wrath. That's a great benefit. You know, the peace that we have is a wonderful state, you know, in which we have... Look in... Actually, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong... Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says... "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You know, we find that the peace of God that lives and dwells inside our hearts can be a peace that can dwell inside other people's hearts. You see, there's a world of lost people out there. There's a world that have their name not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's a world out there that is revolving around God's wrath right now. But yet in his wrath, the Bible said, he had mercy. See, the same mercy that saved you today is the same mercy that's going to save the lost sinner that is deep dwelling in sin. When I first got saved, God saved me from or out of a life of sin. You know, God saved me out of a life of sin. I was living a life of sin when God saved me. You know, there's times and periods in a person's life, especially at a young age, where God saves them a lot from which the Bible calls an unblotted life and scarred from the world. But there's a world out there, and we have a generation right now that does not know God. We have taken the Bibles out of school. We've taken prayer out of school. We've taken the Bible out of Washington, D.C., which they're trying to break down all the Ten Commandment monuments we have in America. They're trying to destroy God. Now they want to change our money because it says, in God we trust. Why? Because there's a world that hates God. But God has given us an overwhelming peace in our lives that we may be able to face, and we'll see later, tribulations. God has not only justified us and He's given us a peace which passeth all understanding, and the peace that with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's none other. There's no other way to heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way to heaven is but to confess your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If there was another way, God would have found that way, but He knew that there was no other way. There had to be a righteous sacrifice for an unholy people. And that person was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the God-man. He was the man incarnate. He was still God as much as He was man, but yet without sin. That's the reason why He could go to the cross and die for our sins. Not only do we have justified by faith, which is the first point, we have peace with God, which is the second point. But look at verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have a benefit of access into God's grace. God's unmerited love, undeserving favor that He gives us. We weren't deserving when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We weren't deserving when Christ died on Calvary's cross. He did it because of His unmerited love. His unconditional love. God says He loves all people. It's God's will that all men come to the saving grace knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this blessed grace. We have access into this grace. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. It says that we may obtain mercy. And then it says, find grace and help in time of need. God has given us this benefit of justification, and God has given us this benefit of peace and with God, and God has now given us this benefit of access with Him. We get to come into God's throne right now as we're standing here, wherever we are when we pray. We can actually come into the throne room of heaven. We can actually come in and make our requests known unto God. And you, by the way, God wants to hear from you. You know, prayer is the way we talk to God. Getting alone, and I talked about that with the teens this morning. You know, we talked about having a witness that in our public life, but we also have a witness in our private life. We need to have a testimony in our private life. And Daniel had a pretty pure testimony. Daniel had a pretty pure testimony, not only in his private life or his public life, which we seen how he was, they even the heathens in Daniel chapter 6 gave a testimony that they could find no fault nor occasion. And then it said he was found faithful. And in all that, he was faithful in his life, in his public life, but then in his private life. Through the midst of going into the lion's den, and when the decree was set over Daniel to, there was a plot against Daniel, and they wanted to kill Daniel. They wanted to take him off the throne that he was on, the position that he had above all the president and princes. He had the position high. He was the chief above them. They wanted to destroy him. But in his private life, he was still the same man. He still prayed. When it was all else was against him, he still was a praying man. Why? Because I think he knew something about coming into the throne room of God. Back then, the Old Testament, the Spirit didn't dwell with men. In Acts or in Genesis chapter 6, we see God himself said, my spirit will not strive always with men. It wasn't until when Christ came and he gave us that commandment that the Holy Spirit of God will be our comforter. And that comforter will live and dwell inside of us when we confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he is his witness in us. So we see the benefits of the Christian life are great. We are justified. We have our sins been blotted out. We have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have peace with God. We have access into the throne room of heaven, which is where his grace, his unmerited love is. But it also says we have hope. We can rejoice in the hope. Look what it says in verse 2. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, amongst this world and all that is going on, the turmoil and all the wars that are going on and all the negativity that you see on TV and hear on the radio and all the things that are happening with our youth and how Satan is attacking our youth. You want to change a generation, you target the youth. And Satan's very good at that. And so we see here that we can have hope. Listen, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we have God's promises. You know, there's two things that we really can be for sure. Christ came, and he's coming again. We know that he's coming again. But he's given to us a task here on this earth. And we say, through the midst of trials and tribulations, where we will see here in a minute, through the midst of the trials and tribulations that we have and that we go through, we can have hope in our God. You know, with Pastor preaching the message this morning, we could turn trials into triumph. Why? Because of the blessed hope of God. You see, God's doing all the work here. There's nothing that we have to really do. Physically, yes, God wants us to go out and witness, but God has done everything already. You know, we have limited so much of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, in our own life, we want to do everything through our flesh. Why? Because it's pleasing to us. And it's hard to do things through the Spirit of the living God. But God desires for us to be filled with his Spirit. You know, God is the only one that could change a heart. There was a point in time in my Christian life where when I first got saved, I was dating a young lady that was not saved. And for 6 months, I'm going to tell you the truth, I tried to save her. For 6 months, I tried to save her. I preached her every night. Every time we talked on the phone, I tried to save her. One thing I was forgetting was the Holy Spirit of God. There was nothing that I could do that he could do even better. And let me tell you, a year later, she did get saved. We have benefits as a Christian. We have benefits that the world does not have. Our sins have been blotted out. We have now declared righteous before a holy and just God, when at one time we weren't. Adam and Eve took care of that for us. We find that in Romans chapter 12 or chapter 5. It gives us, as one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We were born a sinner. We were sitting in the hospital. The OBGYN was, actually we weren't in the hospital just yet. We were just getting a checkup with the OBGYN. And I said a comment to him, and he reared back. He's not a Christian. And I said, can you believe that baby inside her womb is going to be born a sinner? He was taken back at that. We were born into sin. But yet, later in life, we committed acts of sin by our free will. So as a born-again believer, we have the hope of God. And then lastly, and I'll be done, as a Christian, the benefit we have is to glory in tribulations. You know, it's sad to me in my Christian life when I'm going through a trial and I'm sad all the time. And I'm like, woe is me, God. Woe is me. I feel like Jeremiah, woe is me. But when God wants us to have glory in tribulation, because the trying of our faith worketh patience. And we see the how trying of faith here works patience, and not only patience, experience, and not only experience, it gives us hope, and not only hope that makes not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and it's by one person, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's my last point. We have the benefit of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. We don't have to live this world in our flesh. We have the Spirit of the living God living and dwelling inside of us. Do you understand that you have benefits that the world does not have? Not to gloat about it, not to be prideful about it, but to be thankful for it. Are you living the Christian life like you know you should be doing? Am I living the Christian life like I know I should be doing? Maybe you're sitting here today and you never confess your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother Paul, I don't have those. Or Mr. Paul, I don't have those. I don't have my sins forgiven, but I want to. Jesus says, come unto me. And Jesus says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, or 10:9, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You can have these blessed benefits today. Are you sitting here as a Christian? Are you expressing the benefits that you have with God? Your sins have been forgiven. What else do we need? But God doesn't stop there. He blots out our sins and he gives us, declared us righteous before a righteous God. An unrighteous people was declared righteous before God because of the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. And we have access into the throne of grace where we can find help in the time of need. Are we expressing these benefits like we should? Not only have access, but we have grace and we have hope and we can rejoice and we have the glory of God that lives and dwells inside of us, and we can live a Christian life amongst a crooked and perverse nation. So I ask you this question. Are you taking advantage of your benefits with God? Are you praying like you should be? That's a lot of areas that I lack in. Are you reading the Word of God and allowing God to speak to your heart and your life? Do you understand the benefits as a Christian that you have? May the Lord bless you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy.